Blog Talk Radio.
Said Kia tastes like I'd rather be fat. Too funny.
My friends, imagine standing at a crossroads where every path seems shrouded in mystery and uncertainty. You feel the weight of choices, each path promising different outcomes and experiences. It's in such moments that the cry of our hearts echoes the plea of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. This profound verse isn't just a request. It's an admission of our need for divine guidance in the maze of life. Now, if you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a fervent prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. We live in a world where our steps can easily veer off into paths of distraction or danger. The choices we make, the roads we take, the relationships we nurture, and the values we hold dear all require wisdom that transcends our limited understanding. In the Bible, the notion of steps often symbolizes our life's journey. It reminds us that life is not static, but a series of movements and decisions. And in this journey, we are not alone. We have a guide who promises to lead us through his word. Reflect on your life for a moment. Think about the times you felt lost, unsure of which direction to take. Remember the moments of decision, big or small, that shaped the course of your journey. At times, the way ahead may have seemed clear, illuminated by the light of your understanding. But how often have we found ourselves at a dead end, or worse, on a perilous path, simply because we trusted in our wisdom? This is why our hearts echo the psalmist's prayer. Guide my steps. It's a prayer of humility, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. It's a prayer of faith, trusting that God, who sees the end from the beginning, will guide us. It's a prayer of surrender, yielding our will and desires to His perfect plan. When we invite God to direct our steps, we are not giving up our freedom. Rather, we are exercising the highest form of freedom, choosing to walk in the light of His wisdom and love. Now, consider the second part of the verse, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. This is crucial. Our journey is not just about finding the right path, but also about walking in righteousness. It's a recognition that our choices are not morally neutral. They can lead us either towards or away from the path of integrity and purity. Asking God to guide our steps is also a plea for Him to protect us from the influence of sin and wrongdoing that can so easily entangle us. In our journey through life, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. Voices of society, culture, personal ambition, and even our desires. These voices can sometimes drown out the still, small voice of God, leading us astray. But when we earnestly seek God's guidance, He promises to lead us. As Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 reminds us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." This is a promise of divine direction and intervention. But how does God guide us? He guides us through His Word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119, verse 105 declares. He guides us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts and minds, guiding us into all truth as affirmed in John 16, verse 13. He also guides us through wise counsel from others, through circumstances, and through the peace that comes from making decisions aligned with His will. Embracing God's guidance requires us to let go of our desire to control every aspect of our lives. It means trusting that even when the path seems uncertain or challenging, God is working out His perfect plan for us. It's about believing that He knows what is best for us and is capable of leading us to our destiny. This trust doesn't come easy, but it's a journey worth embarking on. As we navigate through the complexities of life, let us remember that our steps are ordered by the Lord, as Psalm 37, verse 23 tells us. When we commit our way to the Lord, He will establish our steps. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges or make mistakes, but it does mean that we can rest in the assurance that God is with us every step of the way, guiding, correcting, and leading us towards His purpose for our lives. So, today, as we stand at the crossroads of life, let's make a conscious decision to ask God to guide our steps. Let's pray with sincerity and open our hearts to His leading, and also be willing to follow wherever He guides. In doing so, we will find that our paths become clearer, our decisions wiser, and our lives more aligned with His perfect will. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me, so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, I come before you with a heart full of praise. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who guides the stars and directs our steps. Your majesty and power are beyond our understanding, yet you care for us deeply. I thank you, Lord, for your unending love, your grace, and the countless blessings you bestow upon us each day. Your goodness and mercy follow us, and for this I am eternally grateful. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life, for the air I breathe, and for the love I experience from you and those around me. In this moment of prayer, I humbly ask for your forgiveness for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have strayed from your path. As I seek your forgiveness, I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness and resentment in my heart. Cleanse me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, as I step into this new day, I pray for divine direction in all that I do. Guide my thoughts, decisions, and actions according to your will. Help me to recognize your voice leading me and grant me the wisdom to understand the plans you have for me. May your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, illuminating every step I take. Protect me, O God, from missteps that lead away from your will. I rebuke any plans of the enemy to cause confusion or to lead me astray. In the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Shield me from harm and keep me on the path of righteousness so that I may walk in your truth and integrity. Lord, I pray for strength and courage, especially in times of trial and uncertainty. When challenges arise, remind me that you are my rock and fortress. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. In every difficult situation, grant me the fortitude to endure and the faith to trust in your unfailing love and power. I ask for clarity of purpose, O Lord. Reveal to me the unique path you have set for my life. Let my actions and choices reflect the calling you have placed upon me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my life is aligned with your divine purpose, and I am walking in the destiny you have ordained for me. Gracious Lord, teach me obedience and surrender as I seek to understand your will. Help me to submit my will to yours, knowing that your plans are higher than mine. In every decision, let me seek your face and follow your guidance. I bind any spirit of rebellion or pride in the name of Jesus, and I declare a heart that is receptive to your leading. Guide me in my relationships, Father. Bless my interactions with others and help me to build connections that honor you. I pray for wisdom in my dealings and for the ability to show your love and grace in all my relationships. I declare that my relationships are guided by your love and wisdom, bringing glory to your name. Grant me peace in decision-making, Lord. In moments of uncertainty, fill me with your tranquility, ensuring that my choices align with your will. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirit of anxiety and confusion. I declare that in every decision, your peace reigns in my heart, guiding me to make choices that honor you. I pray for trust in your timing, Almighty God. Help me to be patient as I wait for your guidance, knowing that you make all things beautiful in your time. I rebuke any spirit of impatience or frustration in the name of Jesus. I declare that I will wait on you with faith and confidence, trusting in your perfect timing for every aspect of my life. Empower me with courage to follow your lead, Lord, even when the path is unfamiliar or challenging. Strengthen my resolve to walk in faith. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am fearless in pursuing the direction you have for me. I rebuke any spirit of fear or hesitation and claim boldness and confidence in following your call. I pray for my loved ones, Lord. May your blessings, guidance, and protection be upon them as well. Let them experience your love and grace in their lives. I declare that they too are walking in your divine purpose and are shielded by your mighty hand. Lord, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now. We come in agreement as we pray for each other, knowing that you are in our midst as you promised. We claim victory in your name, declare healing for those in need, and thank you for your protection and guidance. Together, we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us in our daily walk with you. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word Amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a prayer. I love that prayer. I love the introduction he gives, and then he come on with the prayer. And I love it when he says this prayer is now upon you. In other words, it's yours now. God is going to hear and answer and bless you. And I just wanted to pray this morning, that Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless every caller and every listener. Lord, every family member, every friend near and far. Father, touch those that are sick. Touch and heal this morning. For with your stripes, they are already healed. Father, it's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. There's nothing too hard for you to do. So we ask this day that you would move for your people in the name of Jesus. Every caller, every listener, those that are coming through the archives and the podcasts, move in a mighty way today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you know what your people stand in need of this weekend. Some have gotten paid and it just don't seem like enough. So Father, we ask that you would multiply finances unto your people. Lord, let your people be at peace. Let them have joy and happiness in the name of Jesus. Help them to be great witnesses unto you. This weekend, you brought us, God, another week. Many things could have happened to each of us. We could have been dead and gone, could have been in a bad accident, could have had a heart attack, a stroke, many things. But Lord, you kept us safe from hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, you kept us as healthy. Hallelujah. We closed in our right minds. We have the use and activity of limbs. Life, health, and strength. God, we thank you today. We thank you. Fix our hearts this morning and regulate our minds in you. In the name of Jesus, help us to remember what your word says. But we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Oh, hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. And Father, we thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated. Father, strengthen the brethren there. Strengthen the sisters, God. those great witnesses that's witnessing unto others. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's come in the way of weak people there in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are in every branch of the military. And Father, bless our administration of our military today. Bless our brothers and sisters overseas. And Lord, bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to bless America and have mercy upon us, O God, and the leadership. Have mercy this morning. God, we know that whoever you decide to be our president is who will win this election. Do it, God, for your glory. And do it that your people are blessed. We love you this morning. And Father, we realize without you, we can do nothing. We ask it all today in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Father, have your way here. Move by your spirit here today. In Jesus' name, we ask it all again. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for another week ending. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. Another week ending. Thank you, Jesus. Because without him, we never would have made it. We couldn't come this far. But we've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in his holy word. He never failed us. Yeah. So we know that without him, we can't do nothing. And we need him. Yeah, we need him. Day and night. Morning, noon, and night. Hallelujah. We need the master. And so, when I think back on a week ending many times, so much has gone on in a week. But we thank God we start our week out giving him the first fruit of our day. We start our week out coming here as a group to give him the first fruit of our day here as a group. We come to hear what the Spirit have to say to the church. God always have something good to tell us. And we are always seeking instructions, his instruction. Because if we follow the instructions of God, guess what? It's going to cause us to have great things. Yeah, there are always instructions. Listen what his word says. Delight yourself also in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Also in me, because you're delighting yourself in other things of the world, the natural. Yeah. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. That's the instruction, and all these things will be added unto you. After every instruction, there's a blessing. He even teaches us to come out from among them and be separated. The only reason I should be having a bunch of worldly friends around is I'm witnessing. I shouldn't go to the store and do what everybody else does in there. No. Everywhere I go, I should talk of his wondrous works. Make known his deeds among the people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just talk to people about the election, who may win, who I want to win, who I want to be president, because who I want may not be the person that God is placing. And see, we wouldn't have a president, but Israel wanted a king. Yeah. God told Samuel to go back and tell him, I've been your king. I've been more than fair to you. I've shown my love to you. He brought him out the wilderness. He fed him and gave him water while they was in the wilderness. That wasn't good enough. We want what others got. We want somebody to fight our battles. He told Samuel, go back and tell him now. The king will take your daughters and make confectionery and bakers out of them. They will have your sons fighting war and running with their chariots. They'll take a tenth of your land, a tenth of your crop, a tenth of your cattle, of your livestock. You don't need a king. Go tell God, Samuel, we want a king. And God said, all right, I got one for you. Saul, thank you, ma'am. Saul. The one that was reigning when David, the little shepherd boy, went and killed the giant Goliath. He was scared to go against Goliath and trying to put all his armor on the little boy. The same one he told Saul to kill the Amalekites, and he wouldn't do it. He told him, don't bring no spoil from over there with them people. He let the soldiers tell him what to do. And the prophet Samuel come over there, and he was at the table, at Saul's table, eating the enemy. Samuel said, what is this bleeding of sheep I hear in my ear? He's trying to explain what the soldiers say. What the soldiers said, what did God tell you to do? So the prophet Samuel fell on the king with the sword and killed him right there at the table. Yeah. May have left his son and wife living too, so she could have more and they could raise back up and be an even greater enemy. See, when God tells us to do something, there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason for it. When he says, I'm the head and not the tail, he means it. But I got to believe it. If I don't believe it, then I'm nothing. I'm just existing. But when I'm the head and not the tail, and when he says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, I don't care what comes my way. I don't have it to worry about because it won't grow no bigger. He didn't say it wouldn't come, but it won't conquer me. It won't bring me down. It won't destroy me. That's as far as it's going to get. But I have to believe. I have to stay on top of it. Every time the enemy brings something else, I have to battle him with the word, put the word to him. Yeah. God is faithful to us, and we should be faithful to him. We should love him and obey him daily, the very best that we can. He's always there for us. He won't leave us, nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end. And his word, hallelujah, holds true. His word holds true. He's not a lying God, and he's for us. Hallelujah. Word to read Ecclesiastes this morning, chapter 12, and I wanted to read verse 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is what it says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What happened? I was born a sinner. What happened? I was conceived in sin. I have a sinful nature. The more evil take place, the more evil I can love. So I'm looking at the whole thing. But the day I heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish but have everlasting life. Let me hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let me think this thing through. I want to go to heaven. And it takes something to get there, because just any and everybody is not in heaven. It's a special place. So I got to gird up the loins of my mind. I have to be careful of my thoughts, what I say. I'm working on that, y'all. Who I say it to and how I say it. I'm working on it. I'm even working on telling the Lord about even joking with Shantae. I got to be careful even that. Because every word, every deed is coming up again when we stand before him. And no one else have to give an account for your actions but you. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. Because not only can he destroy the body, but he can destroy the body and the soul. And not only that, he can wipe out your whole family. The existence of your whole family, he can just wipe it out. He's the one that will say, welcome, come on in. Or, well done, that good and faithful servant, come on in. He's the one. He's the one that can cause us to be blameless when we stand before him to be judged. Almighty God Jehovah, he's the one. It says, and keep his commandments. He took the 10 and turned the 10 commandments into 2. This is how much he loved us. And this is how much he wanted easier and easier for us that we'll stay with him, that we will obey him, that we will go back with him when he comes. And keep his commandments. Not the boss, not the, you know, the husband, not the wife, not the children, on the job. No, he said, keep his commandments. Who commandments, Barbara? Almighty God. There's only one that have all power. And that's the one that woke us up this morning. That's the one that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The same one that says, let light appear and light appeared. The same one that said, let us make man from the ground, and he did. Same one pulled woman out of man. Same God that's keeping the sun from the earth and the moon from the earth and the water from the land. Same God. Fear this God and keep his commandments. And look what he says. For this is the whole duty of man. It's our job. It's what we're supposed to do. It's the right thing to do. Obey God. Apply his word to our everyday life. Work on us. Yeah. For God should bring every work into judgment. Look, everything we ever done, everything we ever said, every thought we ever had is coming in the judgment when we stand before him. With every secret thing. See, some things we can do and nobody else will know. Because, you know, I can't read your mind. I can't be with you 24/7. Only you and God know. But because he know of that secret thing. And it says whether the secret thing be good or whether it be evil. He going to bring it into judgment. He's going to judge it. I often hear people say, don't judge me. God know my heart. That's a dangerous thing. Because he does know your heart. He knows the very intent of our hearts. I wanted to share this morning. Because we know not the day nor the hour when God is going to return. And we want to be ready. We don't want to play games. We don't want to sit back and act like we arrived already. I got it. I'm on my way. Daily, there are things to work on us. I'm often praying, Lord, let me be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, slow to wrath. Don't let me be so quick to get angry. Don't let me be so quick to say something back when somebody says something to me that's not right. Help me to guide my thoughts. Guide my heart. Don't just think any and every old thing. Don't judge nobody. Don't think bad about people. Whatever they say, it is whatever they say. And let it go. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I brought a last testament of the day. And he was dead for 45 minutes. And I wanted you to hear that part. He was dead for 45 minutes. God brought him back. Some of the stuff he said, I'm not familiar with. I can't say amen. I can't agree to. But they told me when you are brain dead for so many minutes, you're not coming back. And in some cases, if you come back, you're going to be messed up. You can't walk. You can't talk. You can't think no more. But God brought this man back after 45 minutes of being dead. They had put him in the body bag. I was sending him off to the morgue. And a young rookie, they call him, who had just started as a paramedic. He wasn't sure, but he didn't think he was dead. But God used a young man to bring him back. He said, and after they brought him back, they still had a bunch of stuff to do to him. But it brought me to remember this. If God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. If he be for you, death can't conquer you. They can shoot you with 35 bullets if you won't die. And can come out with no complications. If God be for you. Now, that's something great for him to do. God gave him that. And if I was him, I would investigate it more. I see a lot of people have awesome, they call them afterlife experiences. When I tell you I would be seeking God, I can remember the time I had a vision. And it could have been a dream. But I was standing at this door. I didn't know where I was. So I can't say, hey, I was over here or I was at a door. When I looked to the left, there was a huge table and all these people sitting around it. And at the head of the table, there was a strong presence there, but I couldn't see the face of it. I knew it was a man, but I could not see the actual face. And these people were sitting around the table talking. And I felt like it was John and Peter and Paul and Matthew and all of them. There were some women there. I wanted to believe it was Sarah and Deborah and Priscilla, Lydia. And these women was with these men around the table. Well, when I looked to my right, there was steam coming up out of pots. I could see the cooks and chefs in there with the white tall hats on. And when I looked back, the strong presence at the head of the table said there's a feast about to go on. Because there wasn't no food. The table was set beautiful. But there was no food in the plates or drink in the glasses yet. And that strong presence said there's about to be a feast going on, but we won't eat until you get here. Did you hear that? And I woke up. My daughter had a similar one, but hers was about singing. He give us what we love. I love to cook. I enjoy cooking and baking. Especially if you give me some room and leave me alone and let me cook, let me bake. So he brought that to me. In the form of cooking, preparing to eat. You see? But we need to go to him and ask him, Lord, what's my purpose? What do you have for me to do? What would you have me to do in the earth? How would you use me to draw others to you? What ministry have you given unto me? You didn't just decide to make me one day and not know what you would do with this one that you're bringing forth. And I know you make no mistakes. I wasn't born by accident. I don't care what my parents said. We didn't plan for you. I don't really think nobody planned. I know they think they do. Because they did. Men have planned, but no baby never came forth. Some women have went to the mental institution because they couldn't have a child. So there's no your planning, but there's God's planning. People that commit fornication and here come the baby, they're still what God made. And he made it, him or her, for his pleasure. So, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is it you called me to do? What did you choose me for, God? And I need you to show me. Show me how to put all of this into action. That you would be lifted up and you would be glorified. Not that I would, because see, I see too much checking wits. I see too much checking against each other. My ministry against yours. I don't know two people that are made the same, even twins. They may look identical, but they don't think identical. So what God has for me, what he has for you is for you. We are considered to be the body of Christ, many members, one body. So we should come together and support and help one another. I may not have money, but I have prayer. I may not have money, but I can come over and do something on your behalf. I can do that. Listen, I have wanted to support some things. I wanted the money to support it. That's not the way God was moving. So I had to sit back and wait and see what he says and what he does. Some things God was going to do, but if he did it, then the people would be beholden to me. I wouldn't get no rest from them. So he didn't do it. Hallelujah. I saw it, but he didn't do it. God is faithful to us. And we got to come out of that I want. We got to come out of that. God. Jesus. That's what we got to get. Because we got to trust him with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we got to acknowledge him. He's going to direct our path. We can't be wise in our own eyes. We got to fear God and depart from evil. And until we get that down pat, many can quote it. But quoting it and living it is two different things. I'm with James. I can't just be a hearer and a knower of the word. I got to be a doer. Because if I'm doing what God says, then I'm going to get the blessings of God. Yeah. So it's what he said. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We need to hear the whole thing. Lord, from Genesis to Revelation, what is it, Lord, that you would have me to do? Lord, let your word get in my heart that I may not sin against you. Whatever situation go on, let your word come up in me. And again today, you can hear the scripture 10 times, and each time you can get something different from that one verse. Think how many verses in the Bible. My goodness. When I looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. I could write a many books, but I just don't feel like all of that. I can research and study. I just don't feel like all of that. Now, one thing I knew about Brother Louis, he was a researcher. You done that researching and smart. That Louis Hall was smart. And God sent him my way to be a blessing unto me. Now, I would say something, and he'll go back, and he'll write and say, no, look at this. This is what this is. Facts. The truth. Even in scripture many days. God will send you what you need. Ask him what he would have you to do. What's your purpose for being on the earth? It's not just so you can squirrel the bird around. It's not that American dream that they talked about. You come up with good parents and they take you to school. I mean, you go to school, you finish school, you go to college, you finish college, you get married, you get a job, and history repeats itself. Nope. That's not what God sent you for. That's not what he brought you for, the American dream. He brought you because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. But he chose or called us for something, and we need to find out what it is. Sometimes we know, but we ignore it. Sometimes we know, but we don't want to do that. We want to do this. I figure whatever I was good at is what God chose me for. That's running my mouth. When I went to him and asked him to give me what I like, Blog Talk Radio come up. Because I like to talk. Especially today about him. Ooh. I enjoy talking about the goodness of the Lord, about his word. I know some people can't do it. I've had people and heard people say, oh, I can't do that all day and all night. Oh, no. Because they got to bring the flesh in there somewhere. But we could talk about him all day and all night and get some scriptures going in there and watch what happens. Mm-hmm. I can stay. But my God getting us ready for that great day so that we can stand. And when we stand before him, what work will you carry? Where's your work? Would you be able to say, these are they, Lord, that you told me where you work at? And we want to carry work that won't burn up. Hallelujah. Before us, our God. We want to carry works before him that will stand. Yeah. Hallelujah. I just wanted to share that a little bit this morning. And I'm going to get back to that because I kind of gotten away from it and let other prayers and other, you know, things encourage us, like put God first and the whoop is at the door. I'm going to keep those things. And from time to time, I will share. But I want to come and talk myself of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. Yeah, because when I do this too, I'm more than blessed. The scripture says labor is worthy of this, how God paid. I don't have to look to man. I'm still going because he pays. The benefits are untouchable. Hallelujah. They're talking about a 401k. I'm like MC Hammer on this. You can't touch this. Yeah, 401k can't touch it. I was looking even in the kitchen and I got to sort out some things and, you know, get some things back right because too much. I wanted the huge mixer, you know, the stand-up mixer. I got that. I think I got it. Might have got it for Christmas, a little bit before Christmas, but it was a Christmas gift. And I needed somewhere to put it, so now we got to look for other places. But God is faithful. If we will be faithful to him, he will bless you. I used to pray for wardrobes. In the summer, I would say, Lord, give me a summer wardrobe, and he would do it. Fall would come. Lord, give me some fall clothes and shoes. He would do it. Winter come. Lord, give me winter. Spring come. Give me spring. Whatever I wanted, whatever I needed, he supplied. He is my shepherd. And when I tell you today, I shall not want for anything. That bicycle I want, I didn't get it yet, but I can. Look here. In several ways, he's opened a door. Someone was going to pay for it for me. He opened another door and another door. About 5 different doors. I just hadn't claimed it yet, but I am. I started off, I think that was Wednesday, walking a little bit, doing my sit, my chair exercise a little bit. Yesterday, I prepared a whole meal. I hadn't done that in a while. Just sitting back. And then I wanted something to do during the day, and he spoke to me, and now I can go do these things. He's faithful. And the scripture says this, we have not because we ask not. Whatever it is you want, ask God by faith, believing he'll do it for you. He won't withhold no good thing from you if you love him. And if he saved you, he called you. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share that, and we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're going to share a testimony. We used to have Testify Friday, and we had kind of gotten a little bit away from that because I like testimonies all week. And so I thought by sharing testimonies, we never know who's listening, and somebody can be delivered. I posted it over on LinkedIn, and I had two ladies, I believe these are two women, to come, and they wanted to tell me, because I'll tell you what I put in there. Hold on 1 second. I had the, I think it was yesterday, testifying week to hear the blessings, and so I got 104 impressions on it. You know, people came and they could look. And so this one lady, her name is Barbara. Let's see if we can find Barbara Yobino. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. And so she said that God healed me of polio when I was a child. The doctor agreed with me when I told him Jesus healed me. I wrote her back and I said, my doctor looked at me, then my mom, and told her, that is the only answer, as tears flowed down his eyes. I will never forget that moment, she said. Then the other lady, where did she go? Her name is Cindy Hyde. And Cindy says, wow, that's a powerful testimony. I had no idea. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. But Barbara went on to tell us some stuff. And Cindy have a powerful testimony as well. And so I invited them to come in the morning and give their testimony if they, you know, want to. But I know that God is faithful. And I know that he is able to see us through. We are overcome by our testimonies and the blood of the Lamb. Another one came and said this. When you stop talking to people, stop talking about them. Because, you know, sometimes teeth and tongue fall out. We've been friends, seems like 100 years, but now we're not speaking. Something done happened and we're not speaking. We're not talking no more. So now that I'm not talking to you, I'm not going to talk about you because it would be behind your back. Yeah, I thought that was a point of wisdom. So I thank God for the points and the different things that he's bringing my way and new friends that I'm meeting. And, you know, because we can be an inspiration to each other. Again, many members, but one body. Yeah. And so we thank God. Good morning to you, Jazzy. I hope you're listening in. If you are, good morning. God bless you. Yeah. And, okay, I posted a green on my timeline and her timeline of it. Okay, but Sister Dot, I was hoping that, okay, on your timeline. All right, I have to go to your timeline to wish her a happy birthday. Because if I put that in the prayer group, and all this time I haven't, you know, been saying happy birthday to these other people, then, you know, they're going to feel some type of way. And I really don't think it would be right to do that like that. So I'm going under here, help me wish my friend Willie a happy birthday. May God bless you abundantly and grant you the desires of your heart. Happy birthday. That is a beautiful cake, Dr. Goodman. Yes, it is. So I'm doing the same. I'm telling her happy birthday. And I'll try to find her and let her know from Jesus in the morning. But I just didn't want to start doing that. I tell you what, Sister Dot, can you send me her link, her page with her picture on it so I know I got the right Willie Hester? Because there's a lot of them in there, and I didn't know exactly which one. But because I want to wish her a happy birthday as well, and I thank you for reminding me of these things, because I need the help. I need the help because I'm busy, but I'm calming down. I'm retired now, and I gotta. So look, a while back we prayed for this lady, a friend of Paula. Okay, I got your Sister Dot. She said she didn't intend to post it in there. I thank you, ma'am. Okay, I'm trying to see Deborah. What her name was? Deb. Okay, Paula sent us a prayer request. She sent me, well, she was saying pray for her friend Deb. And so she was supposed to go see Deb, I think it was last Sunday, Sunday before last, but she didn't get to go. And so she said she really didn't have no update on Deb. So I told her, okay, but we'll just keep praying for Deb, that God would touch and heal her body and bring her home from rehab. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. And we're going to pray another request from me is to pray for Paula Long and her husband to get another car, because they both work and they have to go separate ways. So if Paula want to do ministry, or he want to do ministry, and she need to go somewhere, they can't, because I'm assuming they have that one car. So we want to lift them up in prayer today that God would bless them with a paid for car. They don't have to make payments. They may even get a great discount on their car insurance. We know he's able to do it. I've seen him do too much to doubt him. Hallelujah. So we'll be praying for Paula that they get this done. I can remember when I first met her husband, Jeff, he's friendly. And I saw him coming being all friendly. Well, I back way up, you know, because I know you got a wife and I'm friends with your wife. I don't know you, so I'm backing way up. After that, it left a bad taste in Jeff now, because I'm thinking, I know he's thinking, what kind of nut is this, so friendly, then all of a sudden back, because I didn't know, you know what I'm saying, how you coming and you got a wife. Shoot your wife up there first so I know it's okay with her. Yeah, I want to make friends with you, and it's not okay with your wife like that. So, yeah, so we thank God this morning, and we give him glory. We give him honor and praise, and we're moving on in Jesus' name. So, look, I wanted to share this testimony. Well, first, let me go to this one request, and when we get back, we're going to this testimony. And this young man was shot 13 times. I mean, stabbed 13 times and lived to tell it. Hallelujah. Now, you know that was God. Kept him. Shield him. Oh, yeah. So we're going to listen to his testimony, but let's go to this request of the morning. You know what? I'm going to dedicate this to Sister Irene and to Sister Dorothy Goodman. I'm going to dedicate this song to the both of your hardworking women. Thank you.
Started doing a lot of different things that I shouldn't have been doing, you know, from selling marijuana, smoking it, selling promethazine, handling guns, breaking into people's cars, drinking, you know, all of this is well before 21 years old. I had got invited to this house party. I ended up getting into an encounter with a guy. The first friend of mine started to walk. When we get closer, I just felt punches from all over. When I'm trying to wipe my face, my hands are already bloody and my shirt is bloody. I can't really see. I found out at the hospital, I got stabbed 13 times. The first time I had an encounter with Jesus, we had watched Passion of the Christ, and it just broke me. I just started to weep. Because I was taking in everything that I saw, I just got down on my knees and just started praying a repentant prayer. And after that, I just was like, you know what, Lord, I will never, ever make a decision to turn away from you again. So yeah, I grew up in a church. I remember living with my mom and my dad. They were married at the time. And it was me and my younger brother, and we were going to a Baptist church. And so within the first 6 years of my life, you know, I experienced life with my mother and my father, and they split. But my mother still kept me and my brother going to the same church that we were going to as a family before. And in going to church, you know, I would hear about the gospel, I would hear about Jesus, I would hear about, you know, just surrendering your life and all these different things. I even, you know, was interested enough to get baptized at a very, very young age. But none of those things really stuck in the way that they should have. And I ended up making some decisions that caused me to go a different route. To kind of piggyback, to kind of back up a little bit, just as some things that played a role in that, it was mainly my mother and my father, their relationship, and how when they split, my mom was working as a single parent, and my father, he was, he was working, but he wasn't living in the home. And my mom was putting in, you know, extra hours because she had her own hair salon business. And so not being able to come to home as often as possible to, you know, like build that connection and that bond, I kind of felt neglected by my mother and also my father because I didn't see him often as well. It was very rare that I saw him during this time period. And so I started to feel like, you know, maybe things are my fault. You know, maybe I'm unwanted because I'm always at either my great-grandmother's house or my grandmother's house. My thoughts on what love is or in just my value as a whole started to shift from there. And even though I would always, you know, be involved with like children's choir or, you know, being on the dance team with, you know, all of the youth or, you know, stepping for the Lord. I even remember being at my mom's hair salon, and she said I used to get a stand up on behind the office and, you know, preach to people what I would, you know, hear at church. And so, you know, all of these different things where the Lord already, you know, had called me just to live for Him in a sense, but because I was missing that value and that love that I should have received at home, it caused for me to act like a believer, but not actually living like a believer. I remember the first time that I smoked marijuana, and that just opened up the door to a whole bunch of different things. I remember I was 12 years old, and I ended up being introduced by, you know, people just around the way. They weren't that much older than me, but I always looked up to them as if, you know, they were somebody different based upon the things that they were doing, you know. And when I had smoked and I had got high for the first time, it was a feeling that I just had to run back to, or felt like I had to run back to. That caused for me to be in and out because I started to dive deeper into getting involved in the streets, but I also had enough morals, for lack of a better word, enough morals to not go so far at an early age in my life. I remember going to church, you know, for step team practice, which used to be my outlet. You know, if I was angry or if I was upset, you know, I would go to step team practice to, even though I was stepping for the Lord, I was doing those things as a positive reinforcement to the things that I was dealing with, whether it was me dealing with someone that wanted to bully me at school, or me dealing with, you know, just insecurities, or, you know, just so many different things that I had going on the inside that was like tearing me apart, that marijuana was my escape. Even though I'm going to church to step, I would go to church to step and practice, and I'm high, you know. And, you know, a lot of people, let me say that. Nobody really knows that. But at this point in time, things started to, and I was about like, this is from like 12 to 16, all of this is happening. And one way or another, the step team dissolved for whatever reason, not even exactly sure. So that was like the only thing that I looked forward to doing at church. And so even though my mom would make us go to church every Sunday, I would go to sleep. Me and my younger brother, we would just go to sleep. And we always knew when the pastor got to a certain point where he raised his voice, that church is almost over. Like, we had it down as a routine, right? And so I just never really was that into the Lord for myself to build a relationship with Him. I found myself doing things and hanging around people that was going to please them, and I felt like that brought me value to make things worse, when I got to, I believe it was like 17, 18, I just stopped going to church altogether. Like, my mom, she didn't, you know, force me to go anymore. Like, she knew that it would have been more stress on her to try to get me to go than for me to just do whatever I wanted to do. I just started doing a lot of different things that I shouldn't have been doing, you know, from selling marijuana to smoking it, selling promethazine, handling guns, breaking into people's cars, going to parties, getting into fights, drinking, you know, all of this is well before 21 years old. Like, I didn't experience so many different things at such an early age. You know, when I was in the streets, what I was attracted to was making a name for myself, mainly because I didn't feel like my identity when, you know, just being Justin and, you know, being the son of my mother and my father wasn't enough, because I didn't feel valued by them. By them having to work and being split and not being able to spend time with them, those things really made me want to go into the streets, because you can make a name for yourself and people would be attracted to the name that you made for yourself doing illegal activity. I remember, you know, doing these things in school, and my mother and my grandmother, they insisted that I leave the school that I was attending and go to another school in the West End. So where I was currently living and going to school, everyone that was there was predominantly, they looked like me, you know. But when I went to this other high school for the last 2 years of, you know, my school career, 11th and 12th grade, I was really the minority, you know, whereas in everyone else don't look like me, but a handful of people. That's when my eyes started to open up to the possibilities as well as my perspective on life, because I saw other kids that were more privileged than me that were doing the same things that I was doing, you know, in the street, but they were able to articulate themselves. They were able to, you know, read on higher levels. They were, you know, getting better grades in school than me. They had a future set up for them after high school. Whereas for me, I didn't know what I was going to do. I ended up meeting one of my cousins there. I never met her until I went to this school. She actually came up to me, introduced herself, all of that. And my cousin has been a major pillar in my walk with the Lord, because she, for as long as I've known her, has been solid. You know, dedicated to Jesus, surrendered her life unto Jesus, tells people about Jesus. Like, she's just unafraid of, you know, whatever comes along with her walk. I remember she used to just always talk to me and preach to me about, you don't need to smoke or you don't need to do this, you know. And I'm just like, not right now, okay? This is just not right now. And I remember talking to her on the phone one day, and I'm at home. And she just literally randomly asked me, she said, Justin, if you were to die today, where would you go? And I said, It's like everything that I've learned as a child of the Lord and the Bible kicked in, where I was like, I would go to hell. And I said that, and immediately I felt conviction. But at that time, I didn't know what it was. I felt like my heart sink to the bottom of my stomach. I just started to feel like nervous and afraid. And so I said, you know, well, what do I have to do in order to not go to hell? And I don't necessarily want to go to church. She said, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior. And that's it. You'll be saved. And I was like, scratching my head, like, that's it? Like, that can't be it. That can't be all that I have to do. But needless to say, we got off the phone, and it was just a moment of, you need to do this now. So I literally kneeled down on the ground at the foot of my bed and just pray. And mind you, I ain't prayed in years, you know, so I don't even know if the words that I'm going to say are going to come out the right way or anything like that. So I just started just praying that Jesus would come into my heart, that he would transform me from the inside out and make me an example to those that are around me. Like, I really was like, you know what, I want to stop living this lifestyle. I want to dedicate my life unto you. All these different things, just making declarations of how I want to just change and shift and be different. The next day, I felt this boldness and this power and this courage out of nowhere to just go to my friend group at the time and tell them that I'm not smoking no more. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not fornicating anymore. Like, I'm not doing any of the things that I used to do anymore. And they're like, all right, whatever. But I was still hanging around them. Like, even though I made the decision in my heart to change and to do better, like I knew deep down I should have been doing all along, I was still hanging around them. And so I basically just told God, psych, like, I'm sorry, Jesus. I want to live for you when I get old. You know, forget what I said, because the people that I was hanging around were still doing the things that I was telling the Lord that I want to be delivered from. And that just caused me to go into a downward spiral, because even though I wanted to live for the Lord, I wasn't surrounding myself with the right people as well as the environment to grow my faith and to grow my walk and to help me navigate through, you know, just life with Jesus by my side. So I backslid, you know, I went back into selling drugs, doing drugs, fornicating, partying, fighting, anything that the streets had to offer. And I'll never forget the day. It was November 15th, 2013. I had got invited to this house party. And I went to this house party with, you know, the people that I hang with, you know. I ended up getting into an encounter with a guy. So it was like me and two of my guy friends that were with me. And we were standing in the backyard of this house party. A random guy came up to us, and line by line, I'm the third one in line, so to speak, the way that we're standing. And so he comes up to the first guy and he, you know, daps him up and says, you know, I got blase blah on me in terms of like drugs he wanted to sell. My first friend was like, no, I'm straight. So then he goes to the next friend and say the same thing, the exact same thing, do the exact same thing. And he goes, no, I'm straight. So then he comes to me. And in my mind, I'm like, if we all together and one of us has denied, you know, what you're offering, then all of us are denying it, you know, like we would have spoken up. At least that's what I was thinking in my mind. And so when he put his hand out for me to shake it, I didn't. And so he took that as disrespect, which it is, you know, in the streets, that's disrespect. He took that as disrespect. And so when he backed up or walked away, I never took my eyes off of him, you know, just because I could feel the tension. But I wasn't really thinking nothing of it, you know. I thought that, you know, it was just normal, at least the way that I was looking at it, my perspective. I didn't think that anything would spark off. Well, what ended up happening was the first friend of mine started to walk. And so the second friend of mine, like, took a step back and let me walk in front of him. And I'm so close to these guys while we're walking, because he was heading back into the house, that if my friend stepped on my shoe, the back of my heels, I wouldn't have got upset because I knew it was him. Like, that's how close we were in proximity to each other. And so we're walking, and the guy that came up to us is near the door. So mind you, I'm still looking at him. And when we get closer, I see his lips say, this is the dude right here that didn't dab me up. And as soon as he said that, all I saw was a fist come and hit me in my face. As soon as the fist hit me in my face, I was dazed a little bit for him to hit me a second time. So when he hit me the second time, I just made it up in my mind that I'm a fight back. Like, I'm not going to get hit anymore. And I remember hitting him as hard as I could. And as soon as I did that, I just felt punches from all over, you know, all different directions. When that happened, you know, I was down to the ground, you know, and my adrenaline was kicking so bad that even though they were probably punching me and kicking me as hard as they could, it felt like this. Like, it didn't feel that strong. I remember in my mind thinking that if I'm getting jumped, then my friends have jumped in. Or, you know, when I swung or whatever the case may be. Like, that's the way I'm processing everything. So when the guys had backed up off me, stopped beating on me, I felt like somebody picked me up. I literally felt like somebody was holding my arm and picked me up. But when I looked, there was no one there. And I started to walk towards the exit of the backyard. So I'm still outside. And as I'm walking, my right eye is just blank. Like, I can't see anything on my right eye. So I'm like, all right, maybe my eye's just swollen. And in this eye, I don't know if you can see it, but it's like a cut that's on here. And it was just blood coming down from my face. So when I'm trying to wipe my face, my hands are already bloody and my shirt is bloody. So it's like, I can't really see, you know, but I, you know, unless something is really up close on me. And as I'm walking out of the gate, this random guy that saw what I just went through just punches me for no reason. He wasn't even in the situation, right? When he punched me, I just heard a voice tell me, don't swing back, because if you do, the same thing is just going to happen. So I just walked out, and I'm walking out, and I hear, like, people, like, laughing and snickering behind me, and I don't know where I am, you know? I didn't drive. Like, I rode with somebody there, and this is just my part of town. And I'm thinking that, you know, the laughing and snickering I'm hearing, that somebody is about to come and finish what they started. But it was a guy and a girl that were with a group of their friends. The girl had said to me, you know, are you okay? And the first thing that came to my mind was everyone that was with me. I said, where are my people? And the guy, it's like, it's just a vivid memory. Like, it's like it happened yesterday. Like, the guy said out of his mouth, he said, yeah, man, where was your people? And then immediately, it's like my heart just broke. I remember calling, because one of the guys was my best friend. I remember calling him. He called me, and I answered the phone. And the first thing he said to me was, what happened? And so immediately I got upset. I'm like, what happened? If that's the first thing you're going to say to me is what happened, then that means you know what happened. Versus, where are you? To make a long story short, I ended up going to the hospital, and I found out at the hospital that I got stabbed 13 times. Hmm. I got stabbed 2 times in my right eye. I got stabbed 3 times in both my arms combined. And then the rest was all in my head. During that ordeal, I just felt heartbroken because I realized that I went through all of that on my own. When I decided to put my loyalty, my trust, my love into these guys that I was hanging with, because they were giving me that feeling of love that I've longed for, I had an identity with them, you know, from all the things that we had done together. And that one moment broke it up. And so I remember being in bed rest in the hospital. What ended up happening was my eye got punctured. And I learned that your eye is like a tire. If you puncture a tire, eventually air is going to continue to deplete and you got to replace the tire. So that's what happened with me. When my eye got punctured, they not only just stabbed me in my eye, but it reached so far back that it ripped like the cornea, so I'm unable to see out my right eye. So what ended up happening was, because it was deflating over time, it just removed my right eye. So this is the prosthetic eye that I have. I just remember being on bed rest at home. As soon as all of that happened, my reputation and my fame in the street just went from like 100 times more randomly, where I got guys that are older than me that are reaching out to me asking me, you know, do I want to go kill my best friend? Wanting me to ride with them to go in and kill him and all these different things. But I was still so loyal in spite of the ordeal that I declined all the offers. I was, you know, then given opportunities to sell marijuana at a larger quantity than I would have ever been able to achieve at, you know, the motion that I was doing at that time. It just seemed like everything just amplified to try to keep me there in that space. And I remember that one of my friends that I met when I was in the streets that was also like half in and half out with the church, he had invited me to this boot camp where I currently go to church at. He was like, yeah, man, you should come with me to this boot camp. They're going to have, they're going to do all this, that, and the third. And I was like, nah, I ain't trying to go to no boot camp. Because in my mind, I'm thinking they're going to be yelling at me, telling me to do push-ups. You know, I'm thinking like military boot camp. But it was a ministry doing something for the men and the youth and just young men.
Now, Justin, before we move forward, can you tell me what were your thoughts about God even after that incident, even being on bed rest? What were your thoughts about where he was during that time?
I didn't even think about him, to be honest. Like, he wasn't, because I had made the decision that I didn't want anything to do with him until I got, like, older, after I had made a declaration that I did want to live for him but didn't follow through. It was like I was just going through the motions. And I can tell that I was, because I was feeling purposeless after I got stabbed. You know, I'm getting all of these opportunities to stay in the street and enhance, you know, my name and, you know, the money that I'm making, all of those different things. But I was like, man, I really could have lost my life and I would have left behind nothing. Like, this is what I would have been remembered as. You know, I have a younger brother that, you know, we tight because of the way that we grew up. And I'm like, do I really want to leave this earth? And this is who he remembers me as when I'm supposed to be his example, you know? And I'm like, at the time that I got stabbed, I was 19 years old. You know, I wasn't old at all. That's when God showed up by way of my friend who was halfway in, halfway out. His name is Sam. I'll say his name. His name is Sam. And Sam, he had asked me to come to this boot camp. And I was like, I don't want to go to no boot camp, bro. But he said, they're going to have free food at the boot camp. I was like, all right, I'll go to the boot camp. So I ended up going to this boot camp with a carnal mindset of that I'm going to be fed, you know, physically. Not knowing that the Lord was setting everything up for me to really, like, be redeemed. But I will get there. So I remember going to the boot camp, and my pastor, he's my current pastor now, but the pastor that was preaching, he was, because we had went to this remote location, and it was really nicely set up for the young men to get a different experience of who Jesus is and what the Bible is and, you know, all these different things. And so, you know, during all of the teachings and stuff, I just raised my hand, and I was just brutally honest. I was like, you know what? I hear everything that you're saying about how Jesus loves me, how he cares about me, how he wants to do this, that, and the third for me in my life. But when I walk out of these doors, I don't trust myself. I know for a fact, because I did it before. I just said it just like that. I don't trust myself when I walk out of these doors. He just encouraged me to keep on going, you know. But I had a lot of anger built up inside of me. Like, I wanted to get revenge on the guy who stabbed me. You know, I was doing everything that I could to set that up, to go along with, you know, making that decision that probably could have cost me, you know, God knows what. But my pastor just encouraged me to continue coming. And so anytime that the doors were open at the church, I just showed up. I remember right after the boot camp, I went home and I felt different, and I just threw away everything that was in my home. Like, I threw away all the alcohol. I threw away all the drugs. I threw away weapons, all of that stuff. And all of that to me was money, you know, like this is my identity right here. This is a part of who I am. But I threw all of that stuff away without any hesitation.
Justin, what made you do that? Was there something, did somebody tell you to do that, or was that like something that came up or what?
Yeah, it was just conviction. It was mainly conviction. It was just like, I just knew from when I said that, you know, I know what Jesus can do for me, that it sparked me to put my words into action and to decide to make that transition by throwing those things away. And then attending the ministry as many times as, you know, the doors were open. And I remember the first time I had a encounter, I guess you could call it a supernatural encounter, with Jesus. We had watched Passion of the Christ at the ministry. You know, Passion of the Christ was a big thing when it first came out, but I didn't watch it. I was young, you know, I remember, you know, my family gathering to watch it, and I just chose not to watch it for whatever reason. And I watched it at the ministry, and it just broke me. It really broke me to the point to where when they did altar call afterwards for people to come up and pray, get prayer, there was this random guy that had showed up at the ministry. He never been there before, just rode up on his bike and just attended what we had going on. And, you know, I remember standing right beside him at the altar, and I just started praying for him. I felt led to pray for him. So as I'm praying for him, all of a sudden, I just felt like this feeling of peace and power. And it started to make me cry. I just started to weep and just tears falling down my face because I was taking in everything that I saw and really feeling the presence of Jesus in front of me. Like I literally felt like he came down and stepped right in front of me on that altar. And I just got down on my knees. Like I couldn't stand. It's like my body was just following the spirit. I just got down on my knees and just started praying a repentant prayer of just forgiveness and just saying, you know, just really like pouring out to the point to where I'm like, Lord, I didn't waste it all these years. I didn't waste it all of these years doing what I wanted to do instead of living for you. Like it was heart-wrenching. It was just breaking me down. After that encounter, I just started to really develop my relationship with the Lord, really started to develop my relationship with Jesus, you know, by praying and reading and all these different things. And I remember I still had a question on my mind of why did I have to go through everything that I had to go through to know what I know now? And it wasn't until the second year of the boot camp that it was revealed unto me. So I asked myself the question. And when I asked myself the question again, or just the Lord the question, I should say, because I was asking myself, but I was also asking God at the same time. And so he finally answered me and said, do you remember that prayer that you prayed to me when you were 18 years old, when you told me that you were going to turn away from your wicked ways and live for me? He said, now, even though you turned your back on me, I saw the genuineness in your heart that night that you prayed to me. So I answered your prayer to save you and turn you into an example, but I answered it according to the lifestyle that you chose to live. And after that, I just was like, you know what, Lord, I will never, ever make a decision to turn away from you again. And this is a scripture that he brought me to afterwards too. I can't remember exactly where it is off the top of my head, but I can quote it. And it talks about how, you know, if your right eye offends thee, pluck it out. For it is better for the rest of your members, or for one of your members to be casted away than for your entire self. For me, I was like, man, like I lost my right eye. Like it was just all hitting home. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to just surrender unto you. And, you know, for me, that's when I started to heal from insecurities, heal from being who I was masking myself to be because I didn't think that the original me was valued or loved or cared for because I had these flaws or these shortcomings and I didn't have this love for my mother or this type of love for my father. Like all of these different things that plagued me for who I was. You know, any time I was teased for being intelligent or, you know, for doing this or doing that, like all of the things that were making me want to live a different lifestyle were now gone. And it was just me and Jesus and his love. I can honestly say that to this day, my life has changed tremendously. I went back to school and I graduated with an engineering degree. I ended up getting married to my beautiful wife. I have two young boys that are my world. I was called to be a minister, something that, you know, I don't take lightly because I'm not one to want to do the same thing that I did in my past where I'm trying to make a name for myself in this walk. I never aspire to be the biggest preacher or anything like that. I just want to be Justin, because if I'm who I was created to be, then he's going to shine through me in whatever I do. I had learned that through, you know, my past and my current, my present and present time, that I've always been a leader, even though I didn't think of myself as one. The Lord is, he's so awesome. He's so amazing, because I don't regret any of the things that I had to, or I'm not upset at him for none of the things that he put me through to get to where I am. I'm grateful for him, you know, him reaching his hand out and saving me. But I know that everything that I dealt with is exactly what I need to operate on today. And so that's pretty much it.
Justin, who is Jesus to you?
Jesus is my friend. He is my savior. Jesus is who I am. He's my identity.
Justin, what words of advice do you have for the young men, especially that are watching, who may have come from, you know, broken homes that are struggling with their identity as well?
I would say to know that you matter. Despite of any lack of, you know, quality time or anything that you may, you know, contribute as something that has caused you to go astray, know that you matter and that your life is worth more than what you currently may see it as. And don't waste it away for something that is temporary, and instead choose something that's eternal, and that's Jesus.
What would you say to those people who are currently looking at the streets to kind of fill that void that maybe they had growing up, and they're attracted to the lifestyle or the way of living and are currently participating in that?
I mean, I know this is cliche, but it only leads to two ways, you know, prison or death, but it doesn't fill you. You know, it's just like getting high. When you get high or when you get drunk, you feel good for the moment. But once you come down from that or you sober up, the desire to do it again is going to come back up. So that shows you that it's temporary, and it's forever going to be temporary. Whereas in with Jesus, it's eternal, and I don't have to do anything extra to feel fulfilled in life.
Justin, do you have any last words for the people who are watching?
For anyone that may be watching that is on the fence, I just say, just try him. Just try Jesus for yourself and share with me what the outcome is if we ever meet.
Justin, we would love it if you could just pray for the people who have been watching your testimony, who may be connecting in any sort of way.
Most definitely. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person that may be watching that is feeling drawn to you, grateful for who you are and your love and how it can reach any of us, no matter what our lifestyle is or no matter who we are or where we are in the world. I pray for anyone that is watching that is on the fence that you just try Jesus for yourself. Ask him to come into your heart and see how he will just transform your life from the inside out. I pray for anyone that is on this walk and, you know, maybe one foot in, one foot out, living a lukewarm lifestyle. Just surrender it all unto Jesus. Surrender your life unto him. follow his word to a T, and just allow for him to reveal unto you the things that he has in store for you. And lastly, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will comfort anyone that may be going through right now and are looking for another opportunity or to have a second chance, or looking for their first opportunity to have a second chance. That as the Holy Spirit comforts you, that you will make the declaration for yourself of who you want to serve. It's in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ that I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, what a testimony. Yeah, I've seen that before. I've seen where people in the street, you know, they was doing rough stuff. And they grew, their reputation kind of grew a little bit. And they had these other people that followed them who they were supposed to be big and bad and all of this. But at some point in there, with these people that you thought were your friends and your homies, and they were down with you, you know, and they was 100 with you, and all of this, they was your besties and whatever you want to call them. I've seen this before. You get in a fight and you think they're going to jump in and help you. And they leave you to fight the fight by yourself. And sometimes it's more than one person that you're fighting. So whoever the group of people you fight, you're fighting by yourself. So you're not going to win because no one that you thought was jumping in to help you jumped in. And you're fighting alone without knowing it. And you don't know what these other people, what weapon of choice they have to hurt you. And all of these people, your best friend you thought, and all of these people that you thought was for you is against you. And like you said, when it's all said and done and they see the outcome of everything, see, because they were thinking he was going to die. 13 stabs, all in the head, or they was thinking he was going to die. And they wouldn't have to face up to him. You see, he's dead and gone, so all the homie cards was off the table. And believe it or not, they were happy he was gone. But guess what? God had a purpose and a plan for his life, and God left him here to get it right with him. So now, the homie card is not off the table like he thought it was. So now what you got to say to this person that you were supposed to be good buddies and good friends and I got your back and all of this. We come from the same hood and whatever it was. What happens now? He get to see who his real friends were and it wasn't you that he thought was his best friend. Yeah. In the world, they call it ride or die. Yeah, I'm down with you too. Whatever you going through, I'm going through it. Whoever bother you, they bothering me. Yeah, but in the world, you don't have no real friends. Yeah, no such thing as a friend in the world. You may have some associates, and like he said, people y'all done did things together and been places together. But that's all it was. No real love and no real friendship. And see, when God have a purpose and a plan for your life, and he know the very intent of your heart, he done warn you and you come in. When you come on in, you stand. But when he warn you and you continue out there, guess what? It gets worse and worse. He warned me. I took heed. Ooh, and I'm glad. I'm so glad I did. I took heed. Because you could hear this too. She's a woman in a man's world taking over. No man like that. Yeah. Thoroughbred men don't like women giving them orders. Now, he'll listen if you're smart. He'll listen to you. And if it's sound advice, he'll follow your advice. But thoroughbred men don't like women ruling over them to my duty. Now, hold up, sweetheart. Hold up. Now. I got this. Let me tell you how to go. And after he explained things to you, and then you're like, oh. Yeah, because you never did have it. He was just allowing you to do some things because he wanted you to feel, you know, equal. He didn't want you to feel out of place or like he was controlling you. But they didn't like that about me either. God warned me. I was able to come out. I didn't even know I was coming out. I didn't know how I was coming out. That coming out, that wasn't a thought in my head. But when I got that warning, I was able to jump out. And I thank God for that today, that he brought me out. He allowed me to come out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. We can search all over. We won't find nobody greater than Almighty God who have all the power. That's why I know if he be for you, he's more than. More than the whole world against you. So that let me know he's a more than God. He's more than we need. If we'll trust him today, if we'll sink in his word and let his word sink in us, put the word to the test. Let the word of God do the work for you today. Trust it. Have faith in it. If you came to him and went to the altar and repented and asked him to save you, that means you believed. And that's the first key with God, is to believe. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we diligently seek God, we're going to be rewarded. If you want to know something and you diligently seeking God, he's going to give you the answer. But sometimes we want to pray one prayer and go back to doing the things of the world, or go back to doing what's natural, when we're serving a spiritual God. When we pray, we put it on the altar before God and walk away. But now we're looking for places to work unto him. It may be a neighbor who needs her children picked up, a neighbor who needs somebody to cook a meal because she's going to get off work really late, a neighbor who needs one load of laundry done to carry the family the rest of the week until the weekend, and then she can pick back up everything. It may be an elderly person need a ride to and from the doctor. It may be an elderly person or a younger person who can't read, and they got this mail, but they can't read it. You can read, so you honestly read the mail to them and tell them what the mail says. Do you know there are people who don't know how to go and open a bank account? They don't know how to open a checking account, bank account. And today you can open a checking account and never write a check. You can use an ATM card, grocery store, pharmacies, wherever you need to go, online. So we could be a big help to others. Sometimes children have homework. And you know about the school system. You're smart enough to know how to do English and math and whatever. And the mom and dad are working, or the mom working, or the dad working, or how they go. And, you know, they need a little help. You see it, so you volunteer. Occupy until he comes. When we put our stuff on the altar before God, then we go to help someone else. We don't stay there dwelling on what's wrong in our lives, because that's an open door for the devil to get in there and beat you up and drag you and take you back and make you doubt God and all of that. Because you're just sitting there holding, Lord, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. That's all you can do. But if you get up and get busy unto God, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. But look, there is labor I can do unto God. There are people I can help, and the work is as unto God. He'll open your eyes. He'll show you things that you can do. I lived in the project in government housing. And people needed to eat. Now, there are missions downtown and all kind of places, but I knew people who didn't go to these kind of places, or who was on a bus trying to get to another bus and this and that, and they didn't even have lunch to take to work. I would go downtown with a huge basket of sandwiches. I spent $50, listen, God was faithful back during these days, $50 to make the sandwiches. I would get a case of Capri Suns, several loaves of bread, several loaves of bologna, some type of fruit, apple, orange, and a Debbie cake, Debbie snack cake. That's what would go in the lunch. Two sandwiches, a piece of fruit, a Debbie snack cake, and a drink. That was your bag lunch. And I wouldn't put any mustard or mayonnaise on nothing, just the bread between the meat, and I would carry it out there. People would look forward to me coming downtown just passing out lunches. And one day a lady from the city called me, and she told me this. I don't know how, off of one of them business cards, she got my number. And because I would put Jesus in the Morning radio cards down so they could call into the show for prayer, whatever. And she called me, she told me, she said, "Ma'am, we're going to ask you to stop serving those lunches." She said, "And one reason, people will sue you and said your lunch made them sick." I said, "Okay." But as long as God allowed me to do it, I did it. And Robin Lynn Maben would be manning the studio while I'm down there passing out lunches and talking to people and different things. I had so many bread ends, you know, the two end pieces on the front and the back of the bread, I would make bread pudding, cut it in slices and put it in those lunches. Yeah, bus drivers. One told me, said, "Don't come back down here like this no more with not enough bread pudding." I thought my grandmama made that. Yeah, it was beautiful. The cab driver was driving and he saw me. He whooped up. He said, "Ma'am, are those free lunches?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Ma'am, I'm hungry. May I have a lunch?" I said, "Yes, sir." Gave him a lunch. They was on the side of the City Rescue Mission, the homeless shelter, gambling on the sidewalk. I walked up in the gambling game and just started putting Jesus in the Morning cards in the middle of the shoot dice. They couldn't look up at me really because they had to watch their money in them dice. "Lady, what is this?" I said, "It's a card that'll bless you if you call that number 7 a.m. in the morning." And I had bag lunches and drinks there. One of them said, "Baby," to his girlfriend or his wife, "get us a lunch and a drink." "Thank you, ma'am." I said, "You're welcome." I'm going back down the sidewalk. So they told me, "Don't come back over to the terminal in front of the mission, park on the side." Let me tell y'all something. I went down there with plenty of lunches, plenty of cases of soda. They came to the trunk of my car, the Silver Soldier, that 1998 Ford Contour, and they stacked them drinks. And they got them a box of lunches, and they stacked them, and the people just formed a line. I didn't ask them to form no line. They just formed a line, and the men was helping me to give the lunches and the drinks out. I said, "Well, now, y'all make sure y'all get your lunch and your drink." They was like, "Can we put it right there inside the trunk?" I said, "Well, you can put it right there. Put it right there." And they kept serving till it was all gone, and all the people was gone. Then they got their lunch and they drank. Shut my trunk down, and I said, "Well, throw the boxes and everything, you know, in the trunk because we're not going to leave no trash because they'll really make us stop serving." So they would do that and help me. Do you hear me? While my stuff was on the altar, I went to help somebody else where I could. Now, after the city asked me to stop serving, I stopped serving. The word said obey the laws of the land. God had it. I met who he wanted me to meet, prayed for who he wanted me to pray for. That was a lady down there on the sidewalk. And I went to serve her, and she said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And this woman told me all about her business, how she got hooked up with a man. She was serving God, an evangelist, traveling, spreading the good news of Jesus, got hooked up with a man, and guess what happened? He was smoking crack. She ended up smoking crack with him. Do you hear that? She allowed him to bring her out of her spiritual place and come back into her flesh. I have seen a many of women in prison who allow men to destroy them. And I'm sure some women have destroyed men. Women have killed other people for the man. He used her because he wouldn't get in trouble. All roads was going to lead back to her. And once she went to prison, he didn't have a penny, a dime, or a nickel to send her. He didn't have a once-a-year visit, a never visit for her. So when we go out, we're going out in Jesus. We're going out to serve whatever we need and whoever we need to serve. He said, "Trust in him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path." So when you're going out to serve, you're going to pray. And telling the Lord, "Lord, your word said, acknowledge you and you're going to direct my path. Lord, I want to go out and serve others. And I don't want to go out and serve for a name for me or my church or what, I want to go out and serve in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that one that died for me, that one who suffered and died for me, I want to go out in your son's name. If we do this, God is going to move in a mighty way. Listen, the studio is open this morning. If anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one. For the past couple of mornings, I hadn't been able opening it to the last hour because I had so many things I was trying to get done. But we're going back to that too. 9 o'clock, we'll be able to bring anyone in who have a testimony. And sometimes before 9, because sometimes people have to go to work. And so they like to, you know, go on and testify if they can. So we want to do that. We want to pray live more. And not so much of these recorded prayers, although they are wonderful, you know, but we need to pray from us, telling God what it is we want for our family, our friends. And if you have a prayer request like Sister Paula, they need another car. So we're praying that God would give them another car without a price. And I know a lot of people don't understand because they saying this, well, I don't go over there to Jesus in the morning. I don't support Freedom Doors Ministry. I don't even do nothing like too much on her Facebook page. But she will be a blessing unto you. Yeah, because it's not about that. It's not about tit for tat. I do something for you, you do something for me. No, that's not what it's about. We all doing something for Almighty God, hopefully, who have all power. There's no higher power. So unto all power, we are surrendering whatever it is we need to surrender. Because without him, we can't do anything. I always say nothing. But without God, it's nothing we can do. It feels like we're in control. We walking, we talking, we moving our fingers, we moving our lips. Our eyes can do different things. Or we can fix our hair. We can put clothes on, you know, some. We can shower ourselves and all this stuff. But without him, we wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to wake up any morning, no morning, and go to work, not without him. I would not be able to think on the next move, the next thing I need to do. I'm older now, so everything is a list. I love it. It's a list to remind me of what needs to be done. And in the midst of the list, sometimes what's on the list, I do a partial of it and forget the rest. But yet God reminds, the Holy Spirit comes back and reminds me. And I have enough time to get things done. I'm telling you, I hadn't cooked in a while. Cooked yesterday. That was a big plus. Nothing hurt me. Afterwards, I just felt like, okay, you need a nap. You retired. Take your retirement nap. Yeah. And I didn't take that until late. But listen, God is good to us. We want to be good to him. He made us for his pleasure. Therefore, we want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto Almighty God. Stop putting us in the equation. Stop putting I in there where God should be. Let's not take his glory. Let's not take his honor or his praise. Let's give everything to him because he's so deserving. I suffered for nobody. I hung for nobody. I bled for nobody. I conquered nothing for nobody. I never rose with all power for nobody. He did all of this for us. And I'd like to remind us of this daily, that he suffered for us. He died for us. He went through some horrible things for us. And we shouldn't want to take his glory. We should want to lift him up and give him his all. Hallelujah. It's all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, y'all invite somebody to come along with you on Monday to take a listen. Invite a friend. Invite a family member, co-worker. Yeah, and see if they like it. If not, we understand. But most people come that's serious about the things of God and they know that they need help. They keep coming to hear what the Spirit have to say to the church. Plus, they know they'll be recognized over here. They're not just going to be in the studio and I just overlook your number. Yeah. And it's already all right this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the testimony of this young man. And we give you glory. We give you honor. Sister Rita, I'm going to dedicate this one to you this morning. Thank you by the Alabama Girls. Go.
Everybody rocking, come on. If the Lord don't do nothing else, how many can say he done truly done enough? Paul said he don't treat me like my sins deserve. How many of you know that's enough right there? He's been better than good. Even when I wasn't good to him, he's always been good and faithful to me. Ain't it good to have his favor? If you never do another thing for me, you've done enough. If you never see fit to bless me again, you've blessed me enough. When I think where my life could be, sing it like I feel it. If you never do another thing for me,
you've done enough.
If you never see fit to bless me again, you
blessed me enough.
'Cause when I think where my life could be, thank you.
hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Sister Rita said, blessed to feel good this morning. Yeah, because sometimes we need to hear some things that will lift our spirit. Yeah, we need to hear some things that will help us. And when I begin to praise God, when I begin to tell him thank you, I begin to feel better. And I was taught that when the blessings go up, well, when the praises go up to God, his blessings come down to us. So when we tell him, thank you, Sister Rita, when we tell him we love him and, Lord, things are not the way I want them, I want much better. But, God, I thank you for what you've given to me right here, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Things will get better. He's going to send more blessings your way. Hallelujah. You know, you tell him, Lord, I see where my child at it. I see where my children at, and God, they're not praising you the way I taught them, and it appears they have forgotten you. But God, I thank you for these children that you gave to me. And Lord, I know you're able to get them in a better situation that they'll remember you. You made them for your pleasure, not for mine. They belong to you before they belong to me. And God, I give them back to you in the name of Jesus, walking away, trusting you to do what you need to do in them. Hallelujah. And when I tell you it works, it works. When I see my son A.L. Holly today, and he became Bishop Abdullah Lamar Holly, and where he used to be, I mean, just not very long ago now, when I talk to him today and I hear what, I'm like, is this the same boy? But see, God already told me what he would do. So all I can do is sit back and trust him. Sit back and trust him. That means I got to let it go. I can't hold on to it and God holding on to it. If I'm going to hold on to it, God, I have to let it go. If he's going to hold on to it, if he's going to do it, I have to let it go. Yeah. I could keep praying for it if I want to, the same thing over and over and over. But I could pray the prayer of faith and let it go. And sometimes it don't even come back to my mind. That's how much I let it go. Because I'm not letting anything separate me from the love of God that's going to stop me from praying, remembering his word, studying his word, talking of his wonders, works, and making known his deeds among the people. I can't let nothing stop me from that. Now, I don't have to take all the counseling calls. Those calls that God wants me to have, he makes sure I have the energy to take those counseling calls. But everything come in, I don't have to take it. But I do have to walk according to his word. I do have to pray. I do have to keep my mind on him. I do have to remember him. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will come. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. And remind you, because that's his job. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen, it's his job to bring things back to our remembrance. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide. It will keep us if we want to be kept, but we must want to be kept by God. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful this morning. You know, I'm telling you today, I could have a song service and just sing loud like I'm in church. Yeah, I could just lift him up in song. Yeah, just like I'm in church. Because if y'all see me in church, y'all would be like, somebody get the nut and sit it down. Yeah, I like to sing loud in church. I like to lift my hands. I like to open my mouth in church and tell God thank you. Especially if I hear something, you know, it reminded me of something. The word is coming forth, and I know this to be the truth. I can't help myself but say amen. And I like to say it loud. Yeah, I want God to be lifted up. I want him to hear Barbara's voice saying, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Amen to your word, to the truth, God. Now, I went to a football game. I went to several Jaguars games. My friend, she had season tickets. And she would invite me to them games to go with her. And I would go with her, and boy, I don't know what they was doing, scoring or whatever. But she would jump up, and everybody else would jump up with her, and they would be screaming and yelling and dancing. I would be sitting there just looking, okay? Because I didn't know what was going on. Oh, but they would be drinking their beer, eating their hot dogs or whatever, and they would be just having a great time. And I'm just looking crazy because I came because she asked me to come. Went one time and it started raining. Now, y'all know I wanted to get out the rain, but she didn't want to go because of the game. I sat there and I told the Lord, I said, every drop that hit me, bless me. Every raindrop that touched me, God bless me. And I went on through the motion with her because, it was what she liked. Went with her and her son one night to the game. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But I thank God today that he changed me from the inside out. I'm not who I used to be. Yeah, and God is doing new things in me. I'm so glad for a sound mind today. Yeah, grateful, grateful, grateful unto him. And we thank God. We give him glory, honor, and praise. And again, the studio is open this morning. If someone has something they would like to say, feel free to press that number one and come in. If not, we may get out early this morning. I will go to one more song of the morning after prayer, and we'll move on from there. I'm going to try and go for a little walk today if possible. If not, I'll do my chair exercises and tell God thank you. Uh-huh. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, that may be FedEx. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. We thank you for your word today, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. And Lord, let us consider you the whole matter. God, help us today to obey you. Help us to walk according to your word, not according to us. And Lord, we pray today that not only your will be done, but that we are in your will that's being done. Help us today, God, to focus on you and not on ourselves. Help us to let go of whatever it is, situations in our lives. Help us to lay it on the altar, go boldly before the throne of grace. Lay it on the altar before you and walk away serving others in the name of Jesus. Help us today to say something to someone that will encourage them. You love us, you're forgiver. An encouraging word is a gift. Help us to do it today for someone, oh God. Move by your spirit in a mighty way. Bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcasts. We ask today, God, for a financial miracle for those that stand in need. You're more than. And God, we know that you're more than money. You're more than what's needed. Move today for your people. In the name of Jesus, multiply unto your people today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch and heal this morning. God, somebody's going through. And we ask today that, God, you would bless Paula and Jeff with another car. No payments, God. Let someone give them a car. In the name of Jesus. Not our will, but your will be done. And, Father, we ask that you would bless Sister Sherry this morning. Continue to heal her. God, where they think it won't connect in her eye, let it connect. That she see well this day in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, anyone we left out of prayer this morning, we ask that you would take it up. For you know what your people standing in need of. Father, today, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Again, meet the need for each of us according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you this morning, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. We ask that all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. March the 8th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So look, I'm going to play this 1 minute and 23 second prayer, and then we're going to our last song of the morning.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up, but right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.